Gothic wedding. Never been to one in my life. But my coworker got married. He plays in a band called Kilbourne. Some of you might have heard of him. But it was at a Methodist church in Warren. Matter of fact, we knew the pastor because he was at Crossroads for when we were there. I don't remember his name. But the message was powerful. Man, it was great. It was cool. I felt I was all in white. Everybody's in black. I felt like an angel there. But I wanted, can I have a black coat or something? But it was very interesting. And Pastor did a great job and gave a great message on marriage and how marriage has to be a covenant and not a contract. So it was neat, too, that my coworker went to school with the pastor. Plus, he used to play in a band with him. So it was neat to see how their relationship bonded together. And we have people come along in our lives that we can reach out to in time of need. So I just prayed my blessing on him because the wedding was a blessed wedding, even though it was different. Everybody had, because he married a woman that's a tattoo artist, and she has her own shop in Monroe. So everybody there, guess what? All her customers are covered with tattoos, earrings, nose rings. Every kind of ring you can imagine. But it was good. Good experience. And you know, when you go in knowing who you are, that you have the Lord, I didn't feel uncomfortable except the way I was dressed. I would have wore black too. But, you know, everybody was friendly, loving, and you just show the love of Christ wherever you go. So it's wonderful. So that was neat. And then this morning, we're going to watch a music video, which is very powerful. And it gave me a different perspective on the devil, on how, you know, you have an offense and a defense in sports. Well, sometimes with the enemy, is he coming after us, or are we drawing? The Bible says to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, sometimes he comes in and creeps in on us and we're not aware of what's going on, and then we're in a trap like a mouse. We get attracted to something and then all of a sudden, wham, we're in his trap. And we've caused ourselves to draw that way. Then there's other times where in this video, I just heard how the song came about, Dave by David Crowder, realized, hey, I should be running after the devil, him not running after me. So he wrote a song called Run, Devil, Run. I thought, yeah, I needed that. So I've been playing this a lot. Just because I have a lot of challenges in my mind and I need to get pumped up and let the devil know how I feel. And he's been working on my sister and he's been hurting my uncle. And so I just wanted to come at him in a different angle. And by this video, you'll see that he starts out being chased. And I didn't even realize this till he explained it in another video I listened to, that eventually he's on the run after him. And then he ends up disappearing the devil from him because he was afraid of who he was dealing with. And that's the way I want to be in my life and help people see that they don't have to be overtaken by the enemy. That we can put him on the run. So let's watch this video. And I bet devil's been messing with my sister. been messing with my uncle. And the Lord had some divine appointments recently where my dad and I got to go visit my uncle, which I haven't seen for a long time. But he was in a very, very depressed state. And by the time we left, we were all hugging together in tears. And he says that you wouldn't believe how much this means to me, just coming and just being an encouragement to him. It's just powerful, people. And then recently I got a letter from my sister that my mom's been gone 5 years now and she hasn't talked to us because of hurts and pains that have happened back 5 years ago. And in the letter, I just pondered it, prayed over it. I could just see the hurts, the pains that she was pouring out to me, and it just gave me more of a burden. And that's how this came about, this message, because I have a coworker that she'd always tell me, Bill, people always have a story to tell. There's always something. They have a story that goes way back because we have a lot of different people coming and going in the tenant business. We have a lot of single moms that rent from us that are even under protection sometimes that have gone through things. And my coworker is named Tasha. She's a woman, and she hears a lot of the things that go on. And if I don't know, wonder why this happened or that happened, she'll just say, Bill, there's a story behind that. So that got me thinking. And then to view people that we run into contact with, we always seem to judge them by their looks, by just spontaneous, oh, you already have a thought in your mind of what they're like, why they are the way they are. But I want to read a scripture first. This is called Listen Before You Judge, because we have a tendency to judge. So the first scripture we're going to read on judging is Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Do not judge and criticize and condemn others. This is so powerful. So that you may not be judged and criticized and condemned yourself. For just as you judge, or I judge, and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned. And in accordance with the measure you used to deal out others, it will be dealt out again to you. So we have to be very careful. I had to be very careful of judging my sister because I hadn't heard what she's going through. She's on depression medication and anxiety, and nothing's working. The doctors say she is in perfect health. So what's that tell me? And then she's pouring out her heart about past things that happened right there, pinpointed it. So God was able to use me, and I just wrote down, I'm not a writer, but I just let the Lord flow through me and wrote back to her. Why do you stare from without at the very small particle that is in your brother's eye, but you do not become aware and consider the beam of timber that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me get that tiny particle out of your eye, when there is a beam of timber in your own eye? You hypocrite, first get the beam of timber out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the tiny particle out of your brother's eye. Powerful. We usually have the bigger beams in our eye. All right. So we got it. So anyway, I wrote down some things I've been thinking about. Well, what do people carry around? You know, what are things of the past that are still lingering and tormenting and holding people back from getting a breakthrough? And sometimes I found, just by listening to somebody, usually we want to have the last word, or we want to talk and talk and talk. But I found, just listening to my coworkers, let them pour out what they want to say happened in their family life or what's going on, that's meant more to them than me preaching at them or, you know, telling them how bad they are. So here's a few of the negative effects on people's lives that make who they are. And we forget, and I used to think, oh, just get over it. You know, just let it go. That's not easier. It's hard. Because we hold on to things, and it comes back, and the enemy will bring those things back to our remembrance. And we forget to run them away and say, that's under the blood of Jesus Christ. And the devil will say, no, it's not. They'll argue with you, but you've got to stand strong. But one of the things is a death of a loved one or suicide. More of that's happening over and over and over. Every time I hear about the father in Dixon that killed his 5-year-old son and then himself, there's a story. There's something deeper in that person's life that you and I have to see and pray and realize what drove that person to that. We could be in the same shoe. We could be holding on to things that have happened to us in years past that just torment us. And that's why my sister, medication isn't doing anything. So it becomes a spiritual issue. See, number two, a bad divorce. What happens in divorce? Your heart just gets crushed and hard to mend. So things of that, and the kids, a breaking of a divorce situation. Number three, I thought of, what about have they gone through sexual abuse? And years ago, in my younger days, everything was, you didn't hear about that. You know, it wasn't out in the open like it is today. People that have had experiences 50 years ago are still fighting those things in the past. So we as a church, we got to pray more, we got to worship more, we got to get on fire more, we got to get freer in the spiritual things to combat those evil. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, we're fighting against principalities in high places. So it's not the people we're fighting, it's what's been in the past. And the evil spirits that are with it. Number four, verbal and physical abuse. Been put down all your life by words that have just cut you. And your mind has taken that in. And I know so many people that's been through that. So we have to pray against that spirit. A lot of spirits out here attacking other people. You and I have to stand in the gap Let's take the arrows and it'll bounce off of us. Stand in front. Let's see. Oh, a herd of Linda gave her testimony, Johnson, the other night. I didn't realize that her dad took, he saved the life of his nephew. They were out fishing on a boat. Man, and he took his own life to save his nephew's life. And she compared it to Jesus. Unbelievable. They were out on the Mississippi River, and they were on a hovercraft, and something happened, and it collapsed, and it was like in winter or fall, really cold, was it? And it was starting to sink. I don't know all the details about it, but, huh? That's it. Linda's dad, the hovercraft could only handle one person. And so her dad made the sacrifice. Told him, tell everybody I love them. Man, so that was powerful. Yeah. So he stood in the gap for somebody else. He literally laid his life down. So we need that. Did we get through all the scriptures? Let's look at another scripture here. John 7:24. Be honest in your judgment and do not decide at a glance. Superficially and by appearances, but judge fairly and righteously. So we can't judge by just the outward appearance of somebody. Like yesterday, we could have just really been judging, right, and felt uncomfortable. But we didn't. We just had the love of Jesus with us. And I had an experience with my uncle that took us to a biker bar that had good food, good hamburgers. And my dad, you know, he's very 85 years old, very conservative, you know. But we went with my uncle. What ended up so cool is my dad ended up witnessing to this one guy that was super friendly in there. I mean, he made us feel like we're at home. The atmosphere was crazy, you know, loud music, alcohol everywhere, you know. But my dad just took it like, hey, I'm here to witness. And so he's talking to this guy about drinking and everything and why he didn't drink and just sharing the Lord with them and love. So that was so cool. And then my uncle, you know, knowing how my dad is, he just like, he was overwhelmed with our love because we weren't there to judge him. And my uncle doesn't drink anyway. But we were just going to get a good hamburger. It's the best place around, a little hick town of 200 or 300 people. So that was a great experience. So you turn things around sometimes, you know. And there was a time in Anna's life where we wouldn't set foot in any place like that or go to a company picnic or a company dinner because we knew there was going to be a lot of drinking and all that. But we learned to just blend in and just, we would find somebody to just share the Lord with and our own lives, you know, as a testimony. We didn't have to do what they did, but we just showed the love of Christ. And that's what it's all about. I remember a day on the streets of Peoria where we would go into massage parlors and preach to the girls in there, pass out tracts. We'd run into the pimps on the street. They hated us. But we weren't afraid because we went in the power of the Holy Spirit, and all that other stuff wasn't anything to us because we were stayed ahead of it and we were prayed up. Okay, so let's look at another one. Here's one Ananias been through. Number five, brainwashing and control to think a certain way or else. We were with a church that taught us not to fellowship with other churches. We were segregated. We could not fellowship with other Christians. We had to keep ourselves away from them. If it wasn't for us moving to Wisconsin, we got involved in a coffee house up there. We were hungry for fellowship. We started fellowshipping with other pastors and churches around there. And that helped us. Our scales started falling off our eyes that we had been programmed so much to dress a certain way, look at people a certain way. They had a mustache, they weren't a Christian. They had a beard, if they wore short sleeves, they weren't a Christian. See, all that programmed for 15 years like that. You think it was easy coming out of that? No, I went through some battles. We went to Crossroads. I never heard the word grace before. We thought God had a hammer or he had a whip. And every time we did something wrong, you know, we felt this high. Or we'd get condemned by other people around us. Well, God delivered us. We got freedom, see? So in even religion, you can get bound up to think a certain way, to look at a certain church and judge them. We had St. James Church here. When was that? We had the black choir up here. Man, I was almost in tears because I felt Pastor Steve just rejoicing because that was his heart to see unity, and they're just down the street from us. They had, and you know, the same struggle they have, we have. They're losing the younger generation. The commitment isn't there. People show up when they want to show up. You know, it's something. So we got to be careful that we're not programmed or we're not brainwashed a certain way. You've got to have your own relationship with the Lord. You got to read your word. The Holy Spirit will teach you. We have teachers, we have preachers, but everything we say, you need to examine it. You need to take it and put it into your own life. See if it works. I got stung by a bee Monday. My arm was swollen up. You couldn't see the stinger. Just yesterday or the day before, I finally found out where it stung me at. Because there was no sign of any stinger. My arm was all red. I was panicking. Kind of, I said, Lord, I'm just going to let it go, let it run its course, and sure enough, it went down. But things hit us left and right, and I think they're just for the challenging of how am I going to react to it, in fear or in faith. Fear, faith, fear, faith. Choose faith over the fear that comes. Okay. We'll be done here in a few minutes. We could go on and on with these. But number six, I put no father figure or mother figure in a person's life. Never had it. So how do they view things in life without a father or without a mother? I had a very stable growing up life, you know. So I can't feel sometimes what other people feel and what they go through. And that's another thing we have to remind ourselves. I never went through divorce, so how can I really relate to somebody that has gone through divorce or cancer or certain things that go on in their life? But I know other people that have, other Christians, that I can help guide people to. Okay, let's look at the last scripture then and sum this up. Or a couple more. Romans 14:13. Then let us no more criticize and blame and pass judgment on one another. Plain as day. But rather decide and endeavor never to put a stumbling block or an obstacle or a hindrance in the way of a brother. Okay, and then on the positive side now, I don't want you leaving hanging with the negative, because here's what 2 Corinthians 5:15-17 says. And he died for all, so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a human point of view in terms of natural standard value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now we have such a knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. So we have to look at, therefore, if any person, here's the one I wanted to get to. Therefore, if any person in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation, and a new creature altogether. The old has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. And what's that new mean? That means brand new. You drive the car off the lot, it's brand new. So we become new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, and that's where we get into people that carry the old things with them, and it's a battleground for them. And you and I have to stand in that gap. And the best thing we can do is pray and be prepared. And the thing to pray for is divine appointments. Lord, give me that divine appointment for the person that you're going to bring my way to help them. And Josiah, they went to Minneapolis recently and went to a big conference with Bethel. And during the conference, they went out to the Mall of America and did some, what they call treasure hunting, where they would walk around and just sense people's needs. And the Lord would put somebody on their heart to go talk to or say, hey, can I pray for you? But sometimes, what I was thinking through all that, sometimes we just need to get to know that person, find out what they've been through, what's bothering them, so you know how to pray for them. Because the one person Josiah asked, he didn't really want prayer. So when Josiah was praying for him, his eyes closed, he disappeared. the guy he was praying for. So, you know, there's a time and a place that God will lead us, and we have to work on our family members and make sure they're not hurting, the people the closest to us. And I would have never known what my sister was going through. I could have called her. But then another thing we're dealing with is her husband that's putting a lot of these thoughts in her head. So the best thing to do was for me to write a personal letter. So I just pray God go with it. And if that's what you have to do to touch people, then let's do it. Let's pray. Lord, use us. Help us to be humble. And help us to be sensitive to your spirit, to know who to talk to, and to be good listeners. So then we can pinpoint what the need is and how to pray sometime. And we can just pray and cover them with the blood of Jesus so the enemy doesn't come and attack them in that certain area. So make us strong in you. Give us a commitment to serve you and follow you. And we just give you all the glory today. Thank you for everybody here. Bless them. Go with us. And give you all the glory. Amen.